Father in heaven, we do want to ask, will you give the country of Mongolia, will you unite them under Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and use them for a force for your kingdom advancement, in Jesus' name. Good morning. Want to try that in Mongolian? Sanbeno. Great job. That just means good. Are you good? I asked you and you said good. Are you good this morning? Good. I bring you greetings, not just from my family, but also from the Christian Missionary Alliance Church, Mongolian Alliance Church. We call it MAC for short. And the leaders of our alliance and your brothers and sisters in Christ on the other side of the globe. And I bring another word, not just a greeting, that's how they say hello, but also I want to say thank you. And here's how they say it. You can try to say this back to me too if you want. Bayerla. Pretty good. Pretty good. Now here's another weird word, but I'm going to warn you, it's not Mongolian. Okay? And here it is. You probably have never heard it before. Maybe some of you have. Gafap. Ever heard that? It's not Mongolian. It is an acronym that comes out of the Christian Missionary Alliance International Ministries, who's in charge of the 700 missionaries that you helped to send out by attending in this church. So the reason I was saying Bayerla was because you give, we get to go to a place like Mongolia, and there is a national church, an alliance portion of the body of Christ there. Gafap means, it's very similar to our theme for today, chosen, now what? We are chosen to go to all nations. And Gafap means, and you may be hearing this, gospel access for and from all peoples. Can anyone retain and repeat that to me for fun this morning? Anybody feel like standing up and trying to say that? She got the right answer, but she didn't stand. But it was a good answer. So gospel access for and from all peoples, that's part of the vision for international ministries of the Alliance. And I think you're going to hear fingerprints of that throughout today's stories. Let's get into where our theme, chosen, now what, comes out of in the Bible. If you want to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You may have heard some of this last week if you were here from my brother and colleague Ben Carey. But we're going to go a little bit further, and if you look inside of your handout, you'll see a place to take some notes today. And I'm going to give you the answer to the final question here right after I read this, okay? I'm going to ask you what the answer is. Starting in verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people belonging to God. That piece there, belonging to God, in an older version, is translated peculiar. Some people don't like to be called peculiar, but I'm okay with it. Are you? I know I'm one of God's children. Can you say that this morning? Amen. If you have come to Christ and experienced what we just sang about, having your sins forgiven by Him, you're chosen. And you belong to God. Why? That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in this world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify him. Glorify God on the day he visits us. That means the people that resist your faith and resist God in our world, when he comes back, are going to glorify. I think they might even say, you were right. Thank you for trying to reach out to me. And so if you want to look at the question here at the end of your notes, before I forget to tell you the answer, why are we chosen? The final verse that I read here answers that question. That they may see your good deeds and glorify. It's for his glory that you have been chosen to belong to him and to serve him. And not just in one nation, but to all nations. I'm going to tell you some stories about chosen people this morning, and I've organized the three kinds of stories into chosen people in the Bible, chosen people in America, and chosen people in Mongolia. You ready to hear some stories? Okay. This piece of scripture comes out of the book entitled 1 Peter, written by? Thank you. Peter was the first of Jesus' apostles. And do you remember when they came to arrest Jesus for doing no wrong, just because they were jealous, what Peter did? Took out a sword, took up arms, and cut off the ear of one of those guards. Jesus rebuked him. But let's remember, too, later he said, you might need a sword. But he, beyond rebuking Peter, he healed the ear, correct? So we can see from his action that he's kind of a type A personality. He's number one, right? He's a take charge type of guy. Fast forward a little bit, or rewind a little bit, to when Jesus was walking on the water. And they thought it was a ghost, and Jesus is walking on the water, coming to the disciples as they were straining at the oars. And Peter gets this idea to be first. Lord, tell me to come to you, and I want to walk on the water too. And what does he do? The Lord says, come, and he takes a step. He gets out of the boat and takes a step and walks on water. I'm asking you this morning, will you take a step? Like Peter, will you take a step in your journey and in your faith walk with Christ to take a step? Will you? Okay. Let's look at another chosen person from the Bible. Saul of Tarsus was a Jewish man, the chosen people, right? Going around finding those who were following the way of Jesus and throwing them into prison. And one day he was on leaving Jerusalem and on the way to a foreign city of Damascus in present-day Syria, and was going there to find, because he had heard that there were people of the way there too. And he was riding his horse with some other people, and a bright light knocked him off of his horse. And he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? The light was so bright that he was blinded. But he heard the voice telling him, go into the city, and one of these people that you were getting ready to persecute will pray for you, and you will regain your sight. He was blind for 3 days. Anybody got stuff going on in your body today that's kind of getting your attention, making you pray more and look to God more? How about try being blind and to have to be set free by the very people that you hated and were trying to oppress? And then try to look at it from the perspective of Ananias. He was the one who was told by God to go and pray for this persecutor. How many of you would like the job of going to pray for Genghis Khan? Or for some other terrorist? Right? Not real fun. But by faith, he did it and God healed him. He became Paul the Apostle, which wrote a third of the New Testament. And these guys write in their letters about each other a little bit. And you can see that they're both chosen. but they don't actually work together very well. Okay? They don't actually work together. And so, but that was okay because God had the purpose for Peter to go to God's chosen people, the Jewish people, and for Paul to be a apostle or missionary to the. So there are two types of people in this world. Jews and Gentiles, non-Jews, right? And so when our theme being to all nations, that pretty much covers it, right? Gospel access for and from all peoples. Okay, so now chosen people in America. In my ministry in Mongolia, I started to discover that Mongolians, especially the kids, they like their traditional sports like you just saw here, but they also really like basketball. So in my travels around to Alliance churches, I heard about one that has connected to it in their local gym, a basketball academy that has an income and has fruit for the kingdom, both. The parents of these kids that want to get better at basketball pay for private lessons, so they're able to employ 5 full-time coaches. At the same time, I was at one of their camps last summer, and I saw 6 of these kids in the camp stand and believe in Jesus for the first time. And then as part of their private lessons throughout the year, there's discipleship. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but how this academy came to be was a man named Mark Miller was in an Alliance church, and in the 2009 downturn, lost his job, had this vision, came to the church, and they said, go ahead and do it. God bless you. So that is one chosen person in America doing this outreach. Another state, not in Ohio, the heart of it all here. Also, a chosen person from America, also from another state of Washington in the Northwest. I'll tell you a story of how a certain person from there was chosen. Age 5, parents divorce. Broken family, broken faith. Somehow, by the grace of God, gets through high school and college alive. Going down some wrong roads in college, you might have guessed by now, the story is about the person who's standing in front of you. I was given a New Testament by my own family member. I never read it, but I had enough fear of God, you don't throw away a Bible, so I kept it. Amen? 2 years after graduating college, I had heard an ad on the radio that said, if you have a bachelor's degree, you can go almost anywhere in the world and teach English as a second language. So in talking with some people, I decided on South Korea. And so I brought that little Bible with me. And I was in this kind of like little room I found, just renting it weekly, and just had a lot of time, not a lot of friends or acquaintances around. I was reading through this Bible and reading the words of God for the very first time. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I was like, yeah, this is kind of repetitive. Same stories. And I was like, well, some of us need to hear it more than once. But I noticed that, but then I started to notice as I walked around this big city of 20 million people, a single American man, like after I'd been reading the Bible, this Jesus started to sort of reveal himself to me. And pretty soon God started to send to me other believers saying, hey, you look like you're looking for something. And they would started to share the gospel with me. And one day, my own student in one of my classes said, I have a special message for you. I'd like to invite you out to tea and share it with you. And so he invites me out, and he gets out a booklet, a little bit like this, but it was yellow. And he says, this special message starts right here. There was Korean language on one side and English on the other. Are you getting this gospel access for and from all peoples theme? It's starting to come through here. And he said, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Do you believe that this morning? Yes. Amen. I wasn't so sure. I hadn't really heard that God loved me. I had only heard that God is love. Okay, so it sounded pretty good, and especially the part about a wonderful plan for your life. I'm 24, 25 years old, and I have no plan for my life. I'm just there to make some money and come back to America and make it big. Second part of the message that he had for me was, man is sinful and cannot know that love and cannot live that plan. I didn't like that very well. I was a little bit like this. I'm an all right guy. You might be here this morning and you don't like that. But do you want to hear part number three? The good news is that Jesus died, shed his own blood. Peter shed someone else's blood, right? Jesus shed only his own blood so that your sins and my sins could be forgiven and you could know that love and live that plan. And the fourth part was the hardest for me. You don't get the access of that forgiveness from that shed blood for sinners by just attending church or being a part of a certain religion or denomination. Each sinner must accept that atonement for your sin by faith and accept Jesus by faith. And then, amen. And at the time, then he followed it up with a question. Would you like to receive that free gift of eternal life today? And you know what I said? I did not say yes. I reached back into that five-year-old religion that couldn't keep mom and dad together and used it as a shield from the truth and said, these words just came out of my mouth. We don't do that. So I left that meeting kind of grieved. And I was saying sorry to the person that shared the message. And I said, sorry, I didn't believe your message. He's like, that's okay. I did my job. I'm fine. I was the one who was sad, right? That's the way it goes when you share your faith. You feel victory. God is pleased with you. There's no other feeling like it. And then it's on them. What they do with it is between them and God. And it was between me and God, all right. I was really starting to get lonely. And so I started to feel like maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I should have said yes. So I take that booklet and I send it across the world by snail mail to that very brother that gave me that Bible. And I said, you know, I think I might have missed the boat. And he writes back and said, you missed the boat. So now I'm walking around this city of 20 million people. I'm feeling lonely. And he had sent me a book called Mere Christianity. I'm looking on the back of it going, how do I get into this? Like international friendship where people like are nice to each other and we get to go to heaven. And there's no door on the back of this book. And so I'm getting pretty depressed and down. And so I decide I'm going back to America. And 2 days before I got on the plane, a Korean missionary that had been sharing the word with me says, Jeremy, I don't have much time for you, but here, we can have some tea if you want. And brings me the tea, and on the tea tray is a Bible with April 3rd, 1996 written in the front of it and says, would you like to become a Christian? And remember, I was looking for the door, and right away I was like, yes! And I was so grateful that they had asked the question. And led me in a prayer that had to do, so I gave my life to Christ that day with a Korean missionary named Lydia. She led me in a prayer that went like this. If you will live your life for Jesus, which I promise to do, and then others, and then yourself, what does that spell? Joy! Don't we get it backwards, church, when we've been in this for a while? Don't we think that it's all about us? Joy came to me that day, and I came home and got plugged into a good church about this size, and in order to get fellowship, started going to a singles group, and one of the first guys to ever welcome me a couple weeks later, a couple months later, said, hey, Jeremy, you want to go on a missions trip? I said, what's that? Well, we go down to Mexico, and share the gospel. I'm like, well, I don't know Spanish. He's like, well, we got tracts. We'll give out stuff. And I was like, well, I don't have a lot of money. I'm working at a restaurant. He says, will you pray about it? And maybe God will make a way. And so I got to go on a missions trip to Mexico, to Honduras, to Argentina. And then across the pond, I joined a trip to Greece. And the Greece trip was we were selected to be the part of the group to go over to Lebanon and Syria. So I actually got to go to Damascus and see where they lowered the Apostle Paul out of the old city of Damascus and attend a Protestant worship service there. And on the way back from that trip, I was traveling separate from the rest of my group, and I was walking. Plane took me from Athens up to Heathrow Airport. I was walking down the plane hallway and looking for my seat over here, and there was a little lady just seated right up here on the aisle, and there was just one seat beside her, and I was supposed to sit over there. And she said, would you like me to scoot over so you can have the aisle seat? And I said, okay. And so I sat down, and I said hello or something and started to get acquainted with her and ask where she was coming from. Well, I've been in England and France. And what were you doing in France? Well, I was over on the beaches of Normandy. And I said, where'd you stay? Hostels? Or what's that like over there? She goes, no, we stayed in churches. I said, oh, are you a Christian? And she said, yes. And my ears started to perk up, and I started to ask her a little bit more about her trip, and I liked what I heard, and I liked what I saw. And about an hour into that flight, I wrote in my journal, I don't see how I'm not going to end up marrying this girl. I learned about Renee later that she had grown up in Ohio, in Akron, and at a missions conference like this, had come forward when a missionary from Asia was sharing about their ministry. And she came forward and committed her life as a 12-year-old to serve God in missions. So these are three stories of chosen people in America. In Mongolia, I want to tell you, we got there in 2005 and we started language school. And we had, Maggie was three when we got there, and right after she turned four, she went to preschool. And her one of the things about that was that I had been studying for 6 months at that point, and she was coming home and had been there a week or two or three, and I was like, Maggie, what does that mean, what you just said there? I mean, you talk about, you know, you used to working and being kind of the man of the family, and now you got to learn from a four-year-old. Yeah, it's real humbling. But I learned from her. One of the things we did about the time of her birthday there, we had a birthday party in our home, and another four-year-old boy named Bilgune came to that party. And Renee was really trying to reach out to his mom, single mom, you know, share the love of God with her. And you know, just we ran into her one or two other times, and that was about all of our contact with them before we finished language school and moved away for quite a few years. We ended up, I'm going to tell you the rest of that story at the end, okay? So that's where that story stops now. That's the first half of a story of a chosen person in Mongolia. I'm going to start the slideshow here as a way to share with you about chosen person number two. Dawa Darge is on the right here on a boat on Lake Hovsgol in the most beautiful portion of Mongolia, in the north up a little bit south of Lake Baikal. Has anyone heard of Lake Baikal in Russia? Yeah. So this is about a 100-mile-long lake, and it will remind you of like Lake Yellowstone or something just really beautiful. And we had been there in 2006 and saw how beautiful it was, went back to our town of Darhan and shared with them, wow, we saw your national park and it's great. And they were like, they were proud that their country was beautiful, but why would they be sad? Never seen it, never gonna see it. Poverty is so great in that country. So it became a dream of mine in 2006 to be able to take some of our church leaders up to this lake. And in 2016, that dream came true. So that's where we are in this picture. But the story of Dawa, how he comes to Christ, is in when he's 18, he starts coming to these youth outreaches at a church. and he sort of catches the eye, or his eye is caught by a young lady, and he starts to hear about Jesus. He comes to Christ in that church, and then the pastor says, okay, now you go back home. You go back home. You two are getting kind of close enough there. You go back home now. And he did. And he ended up getting a job at the Mission Outreach Center, comma. And his starting salary was very low, less than $100. But he wanted to be very faithful. He's very grateful that he had gotten a job. And but didn't trust himself to hang on to the tithe, the 10%. That's God's share for giving him a job and getting it to church. So he just asked the missionaries, will you just withhold this 10%? And so the missionaries did that for him and put it in the church offering. Today, because he runs a financial peace savings group program helping Mongolians to get out of debt, because where poverty is, there is also debt. And so that little step of faith that he took back then has now taken him to be in charge of this whole savings program, and he served as our alliance president in Mongolia for 4 years. He's also a husband, married the girl, and they have 3 kids. And his wife is in charge of the family counseling ministry that was started by one of my colleagues. So that's story number one, chosen person number one. And I call him just for memory's sake. You can always pray for the Dave Ramsey of Darhan, because his name is David. So what do we have another picture there? So this is what we looked like this fall when the kids were starting school. If you can go back to that one picture one more time, I guess. On the right are all the church leaders that came to that church camp that we had up by the lake. So I just wanted to tell you that. That's where your greeting from the Alliance Church is coming from. And this is what we looked like after 2 years after we got to Mongolia. So our infant had grown up to be a 2-year-old. And then we, after language school, moved to the countryside. And in the countryside, we were reaching out to the local kids with help from a small sports and English team from Ohio, from Bellevue, Ohio. And this is the cabin that we built to live in. One of the things about language school I forgot to mention is that, you know, just learning from your 4-year-old child and all this business, along with just sitting and learning, it's so hard to get this language. I got a lot of cabin fever. So the cure for my cabin fever was to build a cabin. Another job that once I was about halfway through, I was like, what did I get myself into? But we got it finished, and we lived there for about 3.5 years. Our fourth daughter was born in Mongolia, in the capital, and she was about 3 weeks old when we carried her into this home. And here, Dave, Dawa, and Bina are here visiting us 3 hours away from Darhan, where we currently live. Up by the 2011 is a brother named Otkumbayer, and it means kind of last hurrah. I might have told you about him before, but he's the one who, when he found out that I was there in Mongolia to represent Jesus, said, you know what? Jesus saved me from being the town drunk. And he started rifling through this trunk and came up with a book, and it was in Mongolian, but I figured out that it said, Idgirling Bayer Hur, which means celebrate recovery. So I spent all of this last term serving the Lord in creating a Celebrate Recovery Center where we could multiply and see other guys get saved out of alcoholism, and we did see that. My basketball outreach began when I was out there in the countryside because my neighbor boy loved playing basketball in my driveway, got pretty good. One day he comes to me and says, can you sponsor a tournament? So we sponsored this tournament, and there he is holding the second prize envelope. Moved back to Darhan, city of 100,000 people, where we currently reside, also the same place where we learned language school. And you can see what they like to do. When I became when I started to run the outreach center, the employees, every time we have a picnic, they like to slaughter an animal, and that's the main event of the picnic. That is the second picture on the left. There is the very preschool that Maggie attended, and we're out there throwing some water balloons. And then down here is something called Food for Work, and that's a church building that was so cold that no one would live in it, and when people would come to church, they would freeze and kind of like never be back. If you want someone to never come back to church, just turn the heat off, and it's like this. So we took it down to nothing and rebuilt it with actual walls with insulation in it, a little bit smaller so it could stay warm. And we did that through a program that called Food for Work. And this is the center that Renee and I ran together. She was the bookkeeper, I was the manager, and we had the family counseling. The second picture there is those certificates are for people who graduated the Financial Peace Program. And then Celebrate Recovery for guys like the brother holding his new Bible there. And then sometimes we just would give out food, no questions asked, for people who needed it. And here is another Food for Work project. Because people like you give to, and your church gives to our work special fund, when a lady walked into our center and said, "My house burnt down, can you help?" We were in a position to say yes, and it was great. And we used Food for Work labor and money from our work special account to purchase the materials to rebuild the house. Renee is here with the beauty outreach, which she was doing then. She was not only bookkeeper of the center, but her childhood dream from age 12 and before was when she was over at Beulah Beach and, you know, on vacation and stuff, was always to be a Bible teacher. She wasn't playing dolls as much as playing Bible school. And so now she gets to do her dream of teaching in the local Bible school. We started basketball ministry in Darhan that year in 2013, and one of the things we realized that if you're doing outreach to kids, you better involve the parents, okay? And expect that the kids are going to be a light to improve and that they're going to convince their parents to also become followers. Even if some of the parents don't become followers, their permission for their kids to become followers of Christ is important. And if you're not involving the parents in the activity, you might just be babysitting and freeing them up to do all kinds of other stuff that's not going to help the faith that you're trying to put into their kids. So we had this parents meeting, and we started to get kind of a community feeling of cooperation. Hey, I have a trophy. If we're going to do a tournament, I have this. I'll do this. And it was really refreshing to get that kind of cooperation and partnership in helping their kids to grow up healthy. We made it back for our third term in 2014. The Beijing airport doesn't have a lot of benches. Not a lot of climate control either. It's very hot. But by the grace of God, we made it back to our little apartment there where you see Renee with her best friend, Bina, who is married to Dawa. And then you have Zola, who was a babysitter for us for a long time and is active in her church. And then you have Nina, who is kind of a little bit handicapped, but is one of the best evangelists and children's ministry workers you've ever seen. So the body has many gifts there, just like it has here. On the way back from our recent third term, we stopped by Black Forest Academy in Germany because our kids are now getting old enough, Maggie and Lydia are now getting old enough, to kind of want to have a regular high school experience. And so that's a place where they can have that, but they need to live in a dorm. And on the way out, my 13-year-old daughter, Lydia, we're driving out of town after spending one night in town, goes, "We're going there." And I'm like, "We don't decide that today. So you're 13, you know." But it was nice to see that she had that desire to grow up and be big, and I'm not going to hold her back from that. We also got to see this 1,000-year-old cathedral. And through this term, do you remember all the news about ISIS and everything that's going on in our own country and all that stuff? One of the things about the kingdom of God the kingdom of Jesus is that it is bigger, okay, stretches around the globe. Genghis Khan's kingdom was pretty big land area, biggest the world has ever seen, but Jesus' kingdom is better. Amen? And older. And so the final story about a chosen person from Mongolia I want to tell you is about the brother in the middle there. I may have mentioned him previously in the week. His name is Tobo, for short, or Eternal Smooth, and he was a professional basketball player in the Mongolian Basketball Association. First time I played basketball with him, I could tell right away he was different. And throughout, maybe when I was here last time, I maybe even asked you to pray for him. Thank you for praying. Because at the beginning of this term, I had the privilege of going down to meet him right by the gym where we played so much basketball and asked him, Eternal Smooth, are you going to receive eternal life? And he was like, yeah, I'm going to be afraid of death when it comes time to die, aren't I? So right there, he prayed to Jesus for the first time, and now he helps us with the basketball ministry. Can you keep praying for him? Because with people who make that first step, they need to take the second step. And one of his main questions for me is, what time's church again? I'm like, what time's church, right? I mean, it's the same as it was last week, right? You know, amen? Okay, so keep praying for Tobo. This is ways to keep in touch with us when good things happen. You'll hear if you sign up for our newsletter, and you can do that by going to Journalia. Like journal, but then the last four letters of Mongolia. So that's on our prayer card, which you can pick up at our table. And I told you I was going to tell you the second half of a chosen person story. Remember the four-year-old? Remember the four-year-old, Bilgune, Maggie's friend? We went to the countryside. We came back. I'm outside in front of our apartment just shooting some baskets one sunny Saturday morning, and this 12-year-old boy walks up to me. And in English, he says, do you believe in Jesus? Here was my thought. Isn't that my line? I said, yes, I do. And do you? He goes, yes. We're speaking English here. I mean, it's so rare to have these kids that would have the English and be bold enough to be speaking it with a foreigner. Really bold here. I said, what's your name? He goes, Bilgune. I said, Billy. I said, how did you come to Jesus? He said, well, we on TV. I said, where's your church? He said, we have a little church over here. And this is a story that I tell you because it had nothing to do with us or the Alliance or anything. God is moving his kingdom forward with or without our help. So I asked you at the beginning, will you take a step, not just toward missions, but toward Jesus? And so there are five steps that I want to share with you that you could take this morning. And you have a little card here in your insert to help mark that so that your church will know and know how to get you on the right team. Could you join our team in prayer? Join a missionary. Pick a missionary to pray for at least once a week. If you want, you could pick five and pray five missionaries, different missionaries per week. But could you take a step and start to pray regularly for a missionary? Doesn't have to be me. Could be the Carries. Could be anyone else. But get that on your calendar and make it a real commitment to pray. The second one is welcome. Are you aware that Westgate has an outreach to people that come to America from all over the world and never make it into an American home or church? You can be a part of that team that helps make that happen. We did that when we were here in 2003, and it is my most favorite ministry of my whole time here. To see, and we heard later that people who came to church and came to our home are Christian today. They have made contact with us. So you can make a commitment without ever leaving your country, and you can welcome others into the kingdom and into our country. Mobilize. There's a missions committee that makes everything that happened this week happen, and you can be a part of that. Can you take that step? Send. if you're not already giving to the Great Commission Fund, can you consider above and beyond giving your local 10% tithe to your church, to God for the church? Can you consider making a faith promise and committing to give something to the Great Commission Fund, which is about a $40 million budget that sends out about 700 missionaries around the world to His glory? Lastly, I want to ask the following. You remember the story about my wife coming down and committing her life to Christ to follow Him in missions. Is there anyone here who feels God throughout the week calling them, or who has made that commitment before, who would mind standing? I'd like to pray with you. Could you stand if you feel like God would be wanting to send you to a faraway place? Yep. 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 You can keep standing as we begin to pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your grace. Thank you for finding me. Thank you for finding so many in this room. And now I want to pray for those who want to join you in seeking and saving the lost. It's your shed blood that saves us. It's not humanly possible for any of us to save anyone. You're the Savior. But I pray that you would give each one of who has stood and who feels you calling them to serve you great faith and boldness to step out, and also at times to wait and be patient. But I pray that the church would see who these are and gather around them, and to be supportive and to be senders and to be welcomers, and most of all to be prayers, because nothing happens in the kingdom. None of us can save anyone, but you can. So we ask, will you bless these ones who are willing to go and represent you? In Jesus' name, amen.